Under Rule 26, we have this new rule of proportionality, which has replaced the old reasonably calculated to lead to the discovery of admissible evidence standard. And I will be courteous and not ask for a show of hands of all the attorneys that continue to use that clause in their discovery objections. You should look at the rules, because we have turned that emphasis away from that standard into proportionality. Under Rule 37, the 2006 amendments imported the concept that the good faith routine operation of informational systems that might override or delete data automatically in favor of newly stored information cannot lead to evidence of spoliation. Under the current rules in 2015, we have a much more detailed process. It provides first that the court must find prejudice to another party. And if the court does so find, it is expressly instructed to use a very light hand in addressing that. Now, that's a departure from the 2006 rule that provided that as long as there was good faith, there wasn't any sanction available. Now, good faith re-enters the rule under subsection 2 and provides that where there's intent to deprive another party of the information and its potential use, then the court has available to it much more onerous sanctions that it can use to address that conduct. So now, with that framework in hand, Ashley will proceed on to addressing some of the interesting stuff, discussing with us specific emerging social media platforms and digital communications, show us how we can best protect ourselves and preserve and aggregate data on sites such as Facebook and LinkedIn, for example.
Thank you, Jay. Yes, so with social media, I'm kind of transitioning from that background, the helpful background there, to social media, the intersection of these rules and social media. I mean, how many of you have ever said to, you know, a friend or a colleague or a client that you should probably clean up your Facebook page? I saw pictures from last weekend, not such a good look. So, I mean, before you consider advising a client to, quote, clean up their social media page, think about what Jay just talked about with the rules on sanctions, and you know whether you're doing it because you know that there's something coming up in litigation that is out there on their social media page that should be preserved. You don't want to advise your client to clean up things before things get going. So,
by clean up, do you mean delete?
You know, deleting portions or all. Yes, I mean it, sometimes. That's how it could be interpreted, and that could be disastrous if you say, you know, you should clean up the page, and then they delete the account. Through some slides that we're going to cover here in a little bit, we'll talk through how to preserve the page as it exists and then take it down or hide it, so you can have like a static copy of the you know, Facebook page or the whole account, for example, and then prevent it from being easily accessible by just random searches through Facebook. So we'll get to that slide here in a minute. Let's see. So we're going to really focus on Facebook and LinkedIn because those are really popular platforms. But, I mean, there's so many platforms out there now, social media networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, places to share images and videos. There's the disappearing images and disappearing videos on like Snapchat and others like it. We've got blogs. We've got you know, all kinds of discussion forums and places where people are communicating. And it's not just emails. You know, you get those discovery requests that say produce all emails. Well, I mean, people are really communicating through you know, Microsoft Link or Skype chat or Facebook chat. So there's so many other places to look and mine for data, which I think, you know, Deirdre will show you some great places to mine for data here in a little bit.
Now, Ashley, just looking at some of these websites that we have on this slide, I mean, obviously we're not really talking about conducting discovery on, you know, puppy pictures and hobbyist postings and things like that, right? So can you give us some examples of information that has been found on social media sites or those types of websites that have been germane or relevant to litigation cases?
Sure. I'll first back up just a bit, though. And so puppy pictures can be relevant.
Yes.
And
especially in Judge Jones's court.
Yes. So, you know, just finding out about either it's your judge or it's your adversary or it's somebody else that's a party to the case, you know, you could find that they like dogs or they have kids or they're interested in this particular hobby. And, I mean, just all that information, you know, soak it in, use it if possible for your advantage. It may work out in a way that's favorable to your client. So sometimes those puppy pictures are relevant. But most of the time, as we see here on the next slide, like in Facebook, for example, it could be that the debtor didn't disclose certain dinners, vacations, watches, cars, all the luxury items that they probably should have disclosed that now you see, wow, look at that. You know, they're posing with their Aston Martin on their Facebook page. That's something they probably should have mentioned. And with LinkedIn, for example, it could be a second job or another source of income that you see there that wasn't disclosed. So with that in mind, here's like...
Sometimes you'll have even more overt things, like a threat against your client on their page. I've certainly come across that.
There's that too. There's like, aside from the pictures, I mean, there's probably a lot of discussions going on that could be helpful to a matter.